going to church. Now I think it's too hot. We shouldn't be going to church. It's too cold. We don't need to be going to church. Now, that never happened in my home or my family. We went to church. I don't care what was happening outside. You load up. I don't ever remember ever asking my parents, or my sister asked my parents, I never meant, hey, are we going to church Sunday? You didn't ask that. It's like, well, you going to breathe? Is your heart going to beat? Yeah, we're going to church. I thought, praise God. Now, we're going to try to do a knot time thing. This is a result of that lady asking that question. We're doing that call-in TV program or radio program about the, if you could live your life over again, what were the three things you would do? And so, actually, we kept talking after the program ended, and there's actually five. This is the fifth one tonight. So, we talked about, I want you to know about sin, that sin will kill you dead. Don't mess with it. Sin's been dealt with. The blood of Jesus has cleansed you. You can repent quick. You can forgive quick. I want my kids to know they're anointed to make money, anointed for business. So we went through all the scriptures about Jesus. All the parables were business parables. So Lauren just finished her first full day as an interior designer today. And it's like, there was a time I thought that was the dumbest thing I ever heard of. But she just had her first full day and it went really good. And she's going to get a check on Friday. And that's, for a father, that's just incredibly wonderful. My child will get a check and it won't come from me. Praise God. I love that. The third thing is you got to start speaking your future. God spoke and the heavens existed. We're made in his image. You know, you got to learn to get your mouth going the right way. Heaven and hell comes through our mouth, so let's shut hell off and say what God says. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Last night we learned mainly because several people commented at the end. I must have enjoyed that, but biggest thing about last night is learn to be thankful. God inhabits praise, and we just barely touched. There's just so many scriptures on being thankful. And you got to learn to do it in advance. It's called the sacrifice of praise. And why it's a sacrifice? Because you don't feel like it. You don't want to do it. You got to do it in advance. So tonight is kind of simple. Tonight's about learning how to dream. Because from childhood, everybody boxes you in. You know, kids love to color. You try to help your child color. You buy them a coloring book. And, the little bitty box of crayons for you go for the big 64 box, you know. And you're trying to teach them how to color. And the first thing you try to do as a parent is help them color inside the lines. You got to color inside the lines. There were no lines. I just give you a blank piece of paper. But they seem to be inspired with paper with figures and lines on it because they want to go outside of it. And I thought, we box our kids in early. No, don't color outside the lines. Stay inside where it's safe and it's right. And don't do anything different. Be like everybody else. You realize that's not good. And so your kids get older, you realize, why are they playing it so safe? Because I've trained them to be safe. Don't take chances. Be careful. Watch out. Look out. You know, and there's an element of that to parenting, but if that's all you do is the negative, it's what you don't do. Don't smoke. Don't drink. Don't get drunk. Don't steal. Don't cheat. Don't lie. Where's the do list? You know, where's the do list? I always love the story. We took our kids years ago to Washington, D.C. and did the big tour, and it was great. Been twice, but that was the first year when we did a tour of the U.S. Mint, and they were printing $20 bills that day. You know, big sheets of $20 bills where they cut them up. I mean, they're popping off that machine. Boom, da, boom, da, boom. I mean, pallets and pallets of $20 bills. And so they're giving us the tour, and if you ever go, they give you the same story, I guess. And there's a special room there at the U.S. Mint where FBI agents, whose specialty is counterfeit money, where they train. It's a real short training. It's just 2 weeks that they train them. And the fascinating thing was that these are guys whose specialty is counterfeit money. And said in 2 weeks of training at the U.S. Mint, they never, ever, ever see a counterfeit bill. They don't show them one. All they study for 2 weeks are good bills. That's all they see. That's all they study. They never allow them to see a counterfeit bill. So I said the point behind that is, you know the good so good, you know the bad when you see it because you know it's not good. And a lot of times it's in parenting and families, you're telling you, don't do this, and don't do this, and don't. Yeah, but where's the to-do list? How it gets me blessed if I do this, and it's going to help me, and I'll live longer and be happier and be healthier. It's like, get me the do list. So we're kind of going to jump in on that tonight. So I'm going to give this to you. You're going to like this. This gets radical. Now, I'll save this for last because I'm going home and you can't get me. So, I wanted my kids to have great memories. And so I'm a great memory maker. If you just look it up, you know, remember this, think on these things. God's real big on memory. That's why you do the Sabbath. The whole point of the Sabbath was to remember the previous 6 days, what God did, how he got you through, how he supplied, how he blessed you, how he protected you. And that gets you ready for the next 6 days. 6 days, you'll take another day off. What are you going to do? Remember what God did the last 6 days. And so that's why God had holidays and holy days. We're going to sit around for 7 days and just eat food and talk and laugh and remember how good God's been. And that was the whole purpose of all the holy days, or the holidays we call them now. So I'll give you this. I like this. This is just give you this, trying to do this as orderly as I can, because I got wound up with my kids one day and I did this in about 7 hours. So I just blitzed through it. But it's real good about remembering. Because all they went, well, nobody liked, and I couldn't do this, and I didn't do that. I said, shut your face up. You have to flush your brain, get you some new thoughts up there. So this is the part of that. This is 1 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 12. This is all on remembering. It says, remember God's marvelous works and all that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. And so, you know, way back when, it's like, what are you going to do? Well, I want you to remember what I've done, God said. I want you to think about it. Psalm 78, God commanded, I want you to teach your children to the fifth generation. In other words, you teach your children. That's a command. And we all knew all the scriptures from Genesis 18 and Proverbs 22:6 and Isaiah 54:13. All the commands to teach, Deuteronomy 6:69. So what he's saying is, I want you to remember. You know, you got to make yourself remember. You got to, on purpose, remember. You got to think on these things. I don't remember how good God's been. Well, Psalm 78 said, I command you to teach your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren. And if you live long enough, I command you to teach your great-great-great-grandchildren. Why? That they might have hope in God. Why am I supposed to teach my kids that they'll have hope in God? Why? Because hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope is the concrete faith's built on. Without faith, you don't please God. Without faith, you don't whip the devil. So I need some hope to build my faith on. Where does hope come from? The word of God. I need you to sit down. I want you to teach your children to the fifth generation that they might have hope in God and not be as their fathers who forgot me. They forgot my ways. They forgot my wonders. They forgot my miracles. And even though they had degrees and were trained for battle, they turned back in the day of battle, for they had leanness in their soul. What soul? Their mind. They forgot me. They forgot I delivered. They forgot I healed. They forgot I blessed. They forgot I prospered. They forgot. So all the things about what they don't have, what's not going, what's not working, and it won't go good. That's why the children of Israel did not make it into the promised land. God tested them 10 times. This does not sell books, but it's in the Bible. When they left Egypt going to the promised land, 10 times God tested. God did not tempt, but he tested. Bitter water. No water. Too hot. Too cold. It's like... And so they finally got over there, and he sent the spies in. Actually, he didn't send the spies in. They chose to go in on their own. God didn't send them. And they come back. 10 spies have an evil report. What are they doing? Man, there's giants in the land. Oh, it's like God said, there's grapes the size of your head over there, man. It is one blessed country. Big houses, big crops. But there's giants in the land, and we look like grasshoppers in their sight. And I thought, well, did they do a survey? Hey, how do we look to you guys? You look like grasshoppers. Well, I appreciate that. I need to go back and share that with everybody. You wonder where they even got that stupid thought. And so they came back and they said, oh, we can't go. 10 of the 12, we can't go. We're like grasshoppers. And then everybody begins to cry, oh, we should have stayed in Egypt. Oh, we should have stayed slaves. Oh, we can't go over. Oh, what we? And God finally said, that's it. That's it. I put up with you long enough 10 times. I test you 10 times trying to get you to use your faith. You know, I always had an answer. Good water for bitter water. Water for no water, cloud for a sunny day. If you'd have asked, I'm trying to get you to use your faith, without which you can't please me. You can't whip the down. I'm trying to get you to use your faith. Now, I'm not going to cover it tonight, but I've got to teach someday with the kids about all the kinds of faith in the New Testament. Great faith, weak faith, little faith, no faith. Faith is a muscle. If you don't use it, you don't have any. So every day of your life, you need to be believing God for something. I tell the kids, you've got to keep a list on you 24 hours a day. What are you believing God for? Because if you're not believing for him, your faith is getting weaker and weaker and weaker. You got to be believing God all the time, which means you ought to be thanking God all the time. That's kind of the prelude to getting your faith going. So we go through this whole process, and you realize God said, that's it. You're not going. You're not going in. Now, they've been slaves for 400 years, and they've walked through the wilderness all these days, and it's like, oh, okay, well, no, we'll change our mind. We'll go. He said, no, I'm not going with you. No, I've tried. You don't want to. You don't believe it. Said, you're not going. And he said, here's what God said. And number 16, he said, I'm going to do to you exactly what you say. And all they said, we're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. God said, all right, I will do to you exactly what you say. And they said, no, we'll go now. Too late. And so they tried going over. You know the story. They tried to cross and thousands of them died. And they came back. God said, no, you're not going. I'll take your kids over. There's not a one of you that's going to go. So for 40 years, they had to stay in the wilderness. And all those adults died off. And God took their children over. So what made the children different? Well, I don't know. Maybe you saw your daddy drop dead and thought, I don't want to do that. I think maybe I'll stick around and keep my mouth right and we'll go over. You know, so that's the whole Joshua and Caleb thing when they went over. So it's just real important how you guard your heart. You know, it's just critical. I like to write this. This God is a show-off. God's a show-off. God split the Red Sea. Now, why did he just not have it already dried up when they got there? He could have done that. You know, you've seen the Ten Commandments and Moses. I mean, why you just can't have the thing dry? We'll just run across real quick when we get there, and then you just bring the water back. Because God's a show-off. Why walk around Jericho for 7 days, seven times on the seventh day, and then blow your trumpets and watch the walls fall down? Why couldn't Jericho just already be everybody dead, the walls down, we'll grab the gold, we'll go on? Because God's a show-off. God is looking for somebody to show himself strong in. So I tell the kids, I don't care what you're dealing with, God's trying to show off. God's trying to get you a testimony. God's trying to get you a story that you can share for the rest of your life, that you can share around the marriage supper of the Lamb. Man, it was one great run, boys, I'm telling you. We whipped devils and took names. Not like, we never had to deal with nothing. Well, God didn't care much for people like that. You know, you're overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. I like this. Jesus' first miracle, saved no sinners, healed no sick, delivered nobody. It was just 180 gallons of wine for a party. Now, you got to think about that a minute. Lord, I really appreciate all your miracles and your wonders and walking on the water. What's the first thing we did? Made 180 gallon of wine. Did real good stuff, too. They really liked it. That's another sermon. He summed up by saying this. God revealed his glory, John chapter 2, when he did that. Walked on the water at 3 o'clock in the morning. Talked about the I always tell the story about the bombardier beetle. If you can ever Google the bombardier beetle, it's in Brazil. And it's God made it on purpose. Bombardier beetle looks like just a huge, glorious cockroach. It's a big old, long, colorful thing. And it's got two cylinders in its rump. It eats wheatgrass. Bombardier beetle's got two eyeballs set on top of its head like turrets. He can look forward with one eyeball and turn the other eyeball back behind him. He can look two directions at one time. I mean, you think on the day of creation, what are you going to do, God? Well, I'm going to make a hippo, and I'm going to make a cow, and a dog, and a cat, and make a peacock, and a baboon with a fluorescent rump. And I think it got late in the day he got creative. And then he made this bombardier beetle, which when it eats wheatgrass, produces gas in his system, but two kinds of gas. So the bombardier beetle, this is National Geographic. It's in God, it's National Geographic. He's got two cylinders in his rump. When he eats wheatgrass, it produces two different kinds of gas. And so you know how it is to get gas. You feel kind of bloated up. Whoa. And so National Geographic shows the bombardier beetle up on a big wheat stem of grass, swaying in the wind, chewing away, eyeball looking forward, eyeball looking back. Here comes a praying mantis. Praying mantises love to try to eat bombardier beetles. So they don't share much, evidently. So praying mantis is coming up behind the bombardier beetle. He's walking up and getting ready to eat this thing, you know. And all of a sudden, right before he bites down on his backside, the bombardier beetle lets out some gas. And when the gas comes out, when those two kinds of gas mix, it produces a flame. And that bombardier beetle can shoot a 3 to 6 inch flame right out of his rump. Now, I'm not making this up. You can look it up on National Geographic. And so the praying mantis is about to bite down on the bombardier beetle. And all of a sudden, in his head just disappeared. And he fell off. And the bombardier beetle kept swaying in the wind. That's got nothing to do with my sermon, but I just remember that story. It does because it helps you remember stuff. God's a creative God. He's got a thousand ways to get you. God can make an axe head float. And I want my kids to know, if you don't get in the Bible, your faith is going to get so weak, and the devil's attracted to weakness, not strength. The devil's never going to attack you where you're strong. He's not stupid. He's attracted to weakness. He hit Jesus on the 40th day of his fast, not the 10th day, not the 20th day. He waited till his weakest moment, and that's when he approached Jesus. He does the same. He's attracted to weakness. That God says, where you're weak, there will I make you strong. And so we realize that we're going to get strength. Word of God. I'm not going to wait until I feel like it. I feel holy. The house is clean. The bills are paid, and I'm feeling good. I got to put my face in that book every day. I don't care if it's just for 30 seconds. I'm going to load something up in me. This is what feeds my faith. So I got to make sure I got some sort of daily devotional life. So you can tell you better read your Bible. Better read what they're not going to. So you almost have to half scare them into it. You need some faith. Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because without it, you don't please God and you don't scare the devil. How do you get faith? Well, I could lay hands on it and Shondai or and soak you with oil, but that's not how it comes. You're going to have to read your own book. You got to get your own book and meditate it in on yourself. That was good. Christians who live the most abundant lives are those with the best memories. Oh, have mercy. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17. Nehemiah summed up the failing of God's people by saying this: they refused to listen and they failed to remember the miracles you performed among them. People that have the greatest life have the greatest memories because they had the greatest challenges and they had the greatest overcoming stories. What'd you do? I lived a full life. I lived one full life. You want to live a full life. You don't want to. I said, I had all older relatives. My dad was the youngest. And I saw them all. I loved old people. It was great. You know, Sunday dinner, y'all showed up. Kids ate second, third shift. Older people ate first. And then the old people go in the living room. And all my grandmothers and great aunts, all those women, use Burton sweet snuff, not tobacco snuff. It's worse. So, yeah, because the lips are already crinkled, wrinkled, you know. So they're going after eating dinner, you know. They're Christian women. They've been to church. So after Sunday dinner, they go in there and put that Burton sweet stuff on their lip. And they add another empty cup, you know, just a little one. They didn't spit a lot, just a little. You'd be sitting there, Grandma would be rocking. It always smelled like wintergreen in the house. Like, what's that? You got a, is that a deodorizer? No, that's snuff on her lip right there. And then spitting that cup, you know, and then they always want to kiss you when you leave. Well, you didn't leave after Sunday dinner. By that time, the snuff run down the wrinkles in their chin. They're just spit. You're still like, dear God. And so you'd smell like wintergreen all the way back to Chattanooga. So it was you've got to do things that make memories. Testimonies make memories. You overcome by the blood of them, the word of your testimony. So don't ever flinch when there's a test in front of you. God's trying to get you a testimony. Trying to get you to believe him. But we've all done. I've told the story, and I remember when Corey was diagnosed with spinal meningitis, and I'm teaching Sunday school. She was healthy when I left the house, and 2 hours later, she's dying. And she's 18 months old. What did we do so wrong? So I called and said, your baby's at the hospital. No, no, she's at home. You know, my wife's going to bring her second service. No. So I got over there, and sure enough, and my doctor's a wonderful spirit-filled doctor. He's a missionary in Russia today. And so, Joe, I'll be honest with you, I give her about a 50-50 chance of living. She has an advanced state of spinal meningitis. I didn't know what spinal meningitis was. Unconscious, running 104 fever. And so they had to do a spinal tap, and you don't want to see that. And so I can't even think. I mean, I'm a minister. I'm ordained. I've gone to Bible school. I can't come up with one scripture because hell's just landed. I mean, hell's just hit me upside this life. What? What? Did I do this? Did I allow this to happen? What? Why? What? And I can't get a handle on it. But I had enough sense to know, don't let stupid come out of my mouth. I have nothing good in my mind, but don't let it out of your mouth. So doctors coming in, nurses, and we're coming through, and we had that one little prayer partner lady came and prayed with us, and Lisa went to twirling around the floor like some ballerina, and I thought, well, we're in a cult. My baby's dying, my wife's gone crazy. I'm probably in a cult. My daddy's right, I'm in a cult. You're laughing, but I'm very serious. I thought, I'm probably going to hell. I'm probably going to hell. So they got us up to intensive care on the third floor, and Dr. Crouch came to see us. And it's already after this little white-haired saint had prayed with us. And I didn't agree with her. I didn't know what she's saying. My mind's running 90 miles an hour. But I didn't let stupid come out of my mouth. So we got up there, and Dr. Crouch said, Joe, said, we need to do another spinal tap. I said, man, please. You ever seen them? Like a horse syringe. Big old thing. They stick in your spine to draw the fluid out. So I signed the paper and did it again. So he came back and said, Joe, we're not sure what's going on. Corey's still unconscious, still has 104 fever. This is the fluid we just drew off her spine. It is perfectly clear. There is no medical evidence of spinal meningitis. He said, Joe, we may be in the middle of a miracle. I didn't even have an emotion. I thought, all right. So they kept Corey for 10 days. She regained consciousness the next morning. They got a needle in her head, one in her arm. She's on a cooling blanket. And so I told the story several times. They came back 2 days after she was still in intensive care and said, well, she's going to live. Praise God, she's going to live, but she's going to be mentally retarded because it's done damage to her brain. So they left. And all I could say was, my baby has the mind of Christ. My baby has the mind of Christ. My baby's got the mind of Christ. They came back 24 hours later and said, well, believe it or not, her brain's fine. We've done the scan and everything's working, but she's deaf. She's deaf in both ears because it can do that sometimes. And so they left. I didn't say anything. All I could say was, my baby has the ear of the learned. My baby has the ear of the learned. Now, I'm trying to teach this because it's not a holy deal. It's not a burning bush. It's not four angels with wings flapping. It's your faith and your faith only. And faith speaks. Doesn't matter what you feel or what you're thinking, faith speaks. I'm going to say what God says. I don't care what I'm thinking. I don't care what I'm feeling. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So 2 days later, they came back and said, well, can't believe it. Her hearing's back up. Praise God. So they kept her for 10 days in intensive care running tests. And 10 days later, Dr. Cross came in and said, well, we just can't find anything else wrong with her. I guess you can take her home. Praise God. And so Corey runs my publishing company today. She can hear you whisper upstairs. She's got good ears. And there's things you have to get in you deep early. That's why you're supposed to be in church, hanging out with the saints, meditating the Word of God, repenting every day, forgiving every day. Keep yourself clean so you don't get what we call spiritually constipated because you're angry or you're offended or you're upset. If you've got any of that getting in, you better get that out like a greased banana peel, get that out of it. Because that's where the devil gets legal access to you. That's why he said, came to Jesus. He said, the devil came, could find no place in me. I'm not giving you any place, big boy. I don't care what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling. I forgive everybody. I repent of everything. I plead the blood of Jesus every day. And we're going to turn out real good. Because there's always, well, you're not going to make it financially, health-wise, marriage-wise, kid-wise. No, no, no. We're the redeemed of the Lord. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law, which was poverty, sickness, and death. For curses, everyone that hangs on a tree, Jesus bore that curse for me. And I've had to do it when it looked like nothing was happening. And there's times you'll think, you'll have thoughts. Man, you are stupid. You got hell right up your armpits, and you're just quoting stupid stuff. Man, that book's 2,000 years old, and you get caught up in a cult, and you should have stayed in your original church, and you got off in something stupid, and the thoughts will come. I don't care how long you walk with Jesus. They're going to come. The devil's a liar, and he's the accuser of the brethren. Nope, I'm going to say what God says, and I'll say it till the day I look him eyeball to eyeball. Lord, I said what you said all the way. So don't make me put my finger in your face and get to heaven. I'm believing you. And I'm standing here today, and we've come through everything. Didn't say nothing else had ever come up, but what have you come through? Everything. Everything. Some things took longer than others. You know, you wonder, am I doing the right thing? It's like, and I used to pray this. I said, God, you promised me you'd talk to me when I sleep, when I get up and I walk during the day. If I can't hear you, maybe my brain's running too fast. I'm just going to take me a nap real quick. You talk to me while I'm taking a nap. And I've had more times you just have a thought when you wake up. You know, just a thought, just a word, like, all right, I got it. So anyhow, God's good. So Christians that have the best life have the best memories. You need to remember. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 says this, be careful and watch yourself closely so that you do not forget the things that God has showed you. Now, all this is about remembering. You got to get the word in so you can remember it. Meditate on it day and night. Then you prosper. I got to get to where I don't forget. I got to get to where I remember. How do you remember? You say it. You remember what you speak. You remember what you speak. We try to help kids do the multiplication tables in schools and administrator, memorize stuff. I tell them, you got to speak out loud. I have my kids read a book. Read out loud. Well, it's here. Quit reading out loud. Just read to yourself. No, you remember more of what you say than what you just read. So if you're studying, you ought to read out loud. Get your own room. Go out on the back porch. Go out in the woods and sit under a tree and read out loud. Your brain remembers what you say. That's why if the devil gets you out of it, man, I'm never going to amount to nothing. I'm never going to pass algebra. I'm never going to get anybody sick. And my mom and dad are going to get divorced. And hell will come through your mouth just as good as God will. Shut hell off. So that's why you're supposed to, Isaiah 54:13, all of our children shall be taught of the Lord, and great will be their peace and undisturbed composure. What does that mean? When hell makes run, you're going to be upset. Why? Because since you've been weaned from your mother's breast, you've been taught the word of God. It's in you deep. So whatever comes, what are we going to do? I'm going to have about four scriptures just pop up out of my soul. No, God says this. I am the redeemed Lord, and I'm going to say so. And if I get tired of saying it, I'll just make up a song, and I'll sing it. And I'm going to sing my way to glory. I didn't bless myself. I like this one. It's in communion, Luke 22, verse 18. This is Jesus when he first served communion the first time. He's holding the bread. He's holding the cup. And he said, this is my body given to you. And he says after he dipped the wine into the body, he said, do this. Every time we take communion, do this. Do this. Do this. Why? In remembrance of me. What do you want me to remember? My body got busted so you could be healed. My blood was saved, was shed so you can be saved. You better remember this. Why? Because the devil's going to try to jerk it out of you. And you forget who you are in him, in whom in Christ. So, man, you got to do stuff that makes you remember. You got to get it and plant it in it deep. Now, this is going to get kind of funny here, so hang with me. Humans can envision things that don't exist. I like this. Now, this is just a short list. I collected 1,206 biographies from my high school kids years ago. So I like this. Lee Bryan invented ultrasound when somebody else couldn't hear it. There was no ultrasound. What do you think? I think we can hear this. You can't hear it. No, I think we can. I think I can make something and we can hear this, which is ultrasound, where you can't hear it with your natural ears, but we can invent something where you can hear it. Man, it saved more lives. The world was flat until Galileo imagined that it was round. Did you go to space and look down, Galileo? No. No, that's half thought. I think it's a circle. I do. We go out fishing every now and then, and you see the horizon, and you keep rowing, and keep growing, and pretty soon land disappeared. Where'd it go? If it was flat, it would still be there. It can't be flat. It disappeared. Then all of a sudden, an island showed up, and it was natural. If you read Galileo's there, I figure it must be round. And they made fun of him, thought he was an idiot. No, he saw it. He imagined it. You got to be able to use your imagination. Yet most adults tell their kids, you better think right, quit thinking stupid. You just think like goofy all the time. You just think weird stuff. No, I got an imagination that God gave me, and it's running really big right now. Oh, I just blessed myself again. I like that. Infections killed easily. Waiting for Sir Fleming to imagine a mold that could prevent it. Penicillin. What do you think? I think that skanky stuff could heal you. What? Don't even touch that skank. No, there's something in that skank. Look at it. Look how it grows. This looks like something you'd want to put on your salad, wouldn't it? It was dark until Edison imagined a light bulb. We're on the ground until the Wright brothers imagined an airplane. You got to learn to think outside the box. So now my grandkids, I'll make them color outside the lines. I want you to color one corner to the other, man. Color on the, just hit the wall, go on the floor, just stretch that crayon. Think big, quit thinking small. You got to learn to think big. Well, you can't, and you're not smart enough. You're not tall enough. You're not fast enough. You're not good enough. Like, the devil is the accuser, and he comes through parents' mouths early. No, you got to tell you, no, you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. All things are possible to him that believes. You can be the head, not the tail, and that's why we printed off the biographies, all the people that failed. And I've shared so many times. My favorite one's Edison, who got kicked out of school in the fourth grade. His teacher told him he was too stupid to learn anything. He's working on a box car, and the foreman hit him upside the head with a 2x4 window. I got mad at him. We don't know why. I just hit him upside the head with a 2x4, and Edison went pretty much deaf. So a deaf fourth-grade dropout has 1,000 patents to his name. All things are possible that somebody wants it bad enough. What the devil's done early is, you can't, you shouldn't, it's too late, too old. You should have done it early, and you should have studied more. No, I can do all things through Christ. God can raise the dead. He can bless me right now beyond my wildest dreams, if you can dream it. If you can dream it. And so people say, what's important? You got to get your kids to dream big. Please don't limit yourself. And you're one of those frustrated people. Well, I could have done more. And if I only had. And so my dad, when all the older relatives would get older, and I love the snuff stuff, but they tell stories. You know, I wish I had. Yeah, I wish I could have. Yeah, I really should have. I wish I ought to. And there was all these like time machine things, what they didn't do, could have done, should have done. Like, man, why don't we kind of learn from that? Just start doing right now. Let's just think bigger right now. Why don't we? And so I love my grandmother. My grandmother got married when she was just turned 15, had her first baby before she was 16. Never did learn how to read and write. Her husband got killed in the mines, but back then there wasn't any of the Social Security government programs. You know, there wasn't anything. So she got a $5,000 check from the mining company because Grandpa had died. So she told her six sons, it's $5,000. You've got to build us a house because we have to get out of the mining house. We have to get out. Grandma went to church every Sunday and carried a Bible, couldn't read it. She couldn't read anything. But she said, well, we got to do something. So she could sew. She had one of the old Singer pump sewing machines. You ever seen those things? So Grandma became the seamstress of Ducktown, Tennessee. All 758 people. You got it on. My grandmother made it. She sewed everything. So she put all the girls through college. The boys went in the military, and she lived a nice long life. Where'd you make money? I sewed. Did you make teaching? No, I just learned how. Cut out her own patterns and did everything. Never griped about anything. Dip that Burton sweet stuff. Never griped, never cussed. Man, my husband had not only died, if he happened to die, we had still, and we could have, and we could have if it happened and it didn't. And you got to watch that. That's hell trying to get a hold on you. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth unless it ministers grace to the hearer. So people say, well, you're just one of those name and claim it. Yes, I am. I'm in it so deep, I can't hardly see top right now. Because our God honors his word. And you got to almost make a habit out of it going through it. I like this. Here's what we realize that humans kind of envision things. Here's what you hear all the time. This is most adults do it. My marriage can never work. It's gone too far. Have that usually happen in the office every time we do marriage counseling, which I do not like doing because people already got their mind made up by the time they come see the preacher. You should have come see me 3 months ago, not after you're over the edge screaming, you know, heading for the ground. My teenager will never quit rebelling. I dealt with that about 2 months ago. I'll never be healthy again. That's a cousin I got. And I'll never get out of debt. That's a real close relative. So, well, if you don't want to, just stay there and just get deeper. I'm sure there's no bottom and just keep sinking. No, you can get out of debt. All things are possible to him that believes, but it starts in here. And the second thing is going to start happening here. And once it starts here and it comes here, things start to happen. Doors start to open. Opportunities show up. Favor begins to work. And then people say, man, you sure got lucky. No, I didn't get lucky. I changed my heart, changed my mouth, and God started showing up, for God watched over his word before him. So I tell people, whatever you're believing for, you ought to get you a 3x5 card and just write it down if you have to. Make yourself read it. I can't remember. Or write it down and just quote it every day. I like this. Imagination is what makes a cardboard more fun than the toy that came in it. My daughter sent me a thing yesterday, my youngest grandson. Hey, I'm having this new thing. And all he wanted, he didn't even touch the toy. He's wore that box out. I got another one early this morning, and it's where he's still pushing that box all around the living room floor, playing in it, and just sitting in it, peeking over it, and like, we should have just bought a box. That's right, you wasted $100. Just buy the box. I told you. I've already been through that. Just buy a box. Go to the grocery store. They'll give you a box. And stick a bow on it, man. That kid will hug your neck and thank you forever. Next, God had a wild imagination. God imagines all things. In eternity, God imagined time. Chaos, God imagined order. Darkness, God imagined light. In divinity, God imagined humanity. God's asked us to do the same thing he did. How'd you get this, God? I thought it up. Just had me a thought one day. And then I spoke it. Like, whoa. I always watch the Big Bang Theory. I love science. And we'd have debates at ORU between, you know, the evolutionists, you know, and the New Age people. And then the creationist people come in. And it's just a big debate. And so they could never prove anything. They go all the way back to when the Big Bang happened. And so we don't know what happened there. Really? So you got all this scientific logic, and you got all the way back to almost, you know, 29 zeros, point something. And we know what happened. We know it, and it evolved, and right there, we don't know. It just went boom. Well, what went boom? Well, something. But there was nothing. Well, no, there had to be something, because boom can't go by itself. I'm carnalizing the verbiage, but we sit there at the maybe center like, how stupid are these people? He's got a doctorate in something. What, stupidity? Did you get a double doctorate? Is that DD, double dumb? I don't know what that means. Like, what do you think happened? Well, we don't know. Something exploded. But there was nothing. You said there was nothing there. Yeah, but something went boom. And that's where everything came from. A boom. The big boom. Well, it's the Big Bang now. And, you can watch it on, you know, Science Channel. We don't know what happened there. Well, it's here in Genesis chapter 1. He wrote about it. He spoke. And when he did, buddy, it went... It's still growing. It hadn't stopped. The universe is still expanding. Of course, then you get the new guy and say, well, it's stretching like a rubber band. It's about to come back in on itself. Well, that's good. I haven't read that. That must be toward the back of the book. I missed that somewhere. It's going to what? And it will just disappear, be a big black hole. Yeah, that must be Hephaniah chapter 7. I've not read Hephaniah yet. Jesus, during his earthly ministry, imagined water becoming wine, waves becoming a sidewalk, fish becoming an all-you-can-eat buffet. Talked to grown men about being born again. Talked to mountains about jumping into lakes. So every time somebody gets on to me about, you a name it, claim it, no, I'm doing what my Lord did. He spoke and it happened. That's what his dad did. How do you get stuck? I'm going to say what God says. I am the redeemed of the Lord. I don't know, whatever curse has been happening, it's not on me. I've been taken out from under by the blood of Jesus. I'm a child of God. Now, I'm going to say what God says. Now, we've been there, guys. I've told you, I think, 2 years ago when I was here. Our kids, Psalm 112. I fear God. I ask God ever teach me to fear you. I delight in his commandments. Because I do that, my children will be successful everywhere. I've prayed that ever since Sarah was conceived. My children will be successful. Now, we've been through stuff where kids lost their college scholarships. Now, two of my six lose their scholarships that we worked so hard to get. Like, well, praise God. I wanted to holler and scream and accuse and throw stuff, but I knew enough. Like, well, Where are we going to go get it back? Whatever the devil steals, he'll back sevenfold. We're going to go get it back again. How? I don't know. I've never lost it, but somebody's lost it somewhere before. Let's go get a book. Let's call somebody. We went over to ORU to the, you know, entrance place again. Said, how do we get a scholarship back? What? How do you get a scholarship back if you lost it? Well, some you can't. Which ones are those? Do I have one of those? Do I have one you can get back? Well, you possibly get it back. How do I get it back? Well, you have to, you know, take some, how'd you lose it? Well, we flunked some courses. We have to retake them. Okay, how do we do that? Well, you can do it next year. Can you do it in the summer? Well, maybe. Can you see? Okay, how much does that cost? You know, 6 weeks. We'll take that. We want that course. Sign us up. And how long does it take to apply toward the bad grade we had? Well, within a week. Okay, when's that going to be? About August 15th. Good. Put that on the calendar. And you had to start making a plan. You got to have a plan. When you have a plan, God will order steps. God does not order steps if you don't have a plan. So we had it. We got them both back. We got them back. We did. Now, I wrote a lot of checks for a year, but then I didn't have to. We got them back. And you got to know what you want. You got to want something. Nobody wants anything anymore. Share with the staff this at lunch. Like, I was shocked when I got in the workplace. My daddy always taught us to work hard and pay your tithe. So I was working DuPont Kitchen when I was a senior in high school trying to make money, and I realized how many people would sneak out the back door and sit out in the back and not work, and they want to smoke and, you know, tell stories, drink a beer, and they'd show up late, leave early, not do their job, do the job halfway. It's like, guys, they don't pay people to do this. Somebody's going to fire you. Of course, they all eventually got fired. Then Olin Masson, my first job as an adult, and it was my first week. People wrote stuff on the side of my truck. They got mad at me because I was working too hard. I said, I work hard. I work normal. They hired me to do a job. That's why I get a paycheck. I get paid to do a job. I want to do my job really good because I like to get a better job with more pay. I have a lot of hobbies, cash in one of them. I'm trying to get paid. And they just look at you, Joe, you need to slow down. You move too fast. You're doing too much. And these were grown men who were getting a paycheck. Like, who is your mama? What did your mama teach you? Man, I'll tell you, how'd you become an engineer? Well, I shouldn't have been. I worked real hard. I kept getting promoted. 3.5 years, Olin Masson, I moved up through the food chain, so I'm finally at the top paying job in the plant. And one day a guy came by down below, and he's in a white shirt. He never did sweat. I said, who is that guy? He never sweats. Everybody sweats in this plant. He said, that's a lab technician. I said, lab technician? Well, where's he work? He works in the lab. Well, what do you mean? Well, that's why he doesn't sweat. The lab's air conditioned. I said, there's a job down here that's air conditioned? I said, does he make more money than we do? Yeah, he's a lab technician. I said, how do you get to be a lab technician? And my foreman made fun of him. He said, and he cussed and said stuff. So you got to have a degree in metallurgy. I don't know what metallurgy is. We had a country school. We had a shop. But I don't know what metallurgy is. So I went down to the employment office in front of the plant. By the way, it's where they make moon pies today. We shut our plant down eventually. It's where all moon pies are made, my former plant. So I go down there, and I walked in. I said, how do you get to be a lab technician? It's the receptionist. Very nice lady. She said, well, you need to take a test. I said, oh, when do you give them? We're giving one on Thursday. I said, can I take it? I guess. Well, what do I do? Well, you can sign up. And she had a piece of paper with, I think, 17 type names. I signed my name, number 18. I signed my name. So I showed up Thursday. I've been working on the furnace all day. I got a blue uniform, metal tarsal shoes. My uniform's white with sweat. I sweat so much up there. So I walked in, and the guy gave him the test. Looked at me, sir, can we help you? I'm here to take the test. He said, no, I don't think so. No, I'm here to say, what's your name? I said, Joe McGee. Well, somebody had retyped my name. He said, okay, well, have a seat. So I sit down. And it's all a metallurgy. I don't know what metallurgy is. It's 100 questions, multiple choice. So I looked at the first one, and I know how to take a test. Do you know the answer? No, let's go to number two. Do you know the answer? Mm-hmm. Go to number three. So I went to all 100. I don't know the answer to any of them. It's Greek to me. So I went back to number one, A. Number two, B. Number three, C. Number four, D. Number five, A. And I just A, B, C'd the whole test. So it's a two-hour test. I finished in 20 minutes. So I'm at the back, so I walked up, and people are looking at me. My God, he's a genius, some kind of genius, you know. So Steve Radline, who is the lab foreman, he worked for NASA before NASA was famous, and smoked a lime green pipe. Called me in, and I went down and said, have a seat, Joe. He said, Joe, why do you want to be a lab technician? I said, well, I have a lot of hobbies. Work's not one of them. I work for cash, and y'all make more money. Plus, it's air conditioned here, man, and I would love to work in an air-conditioned place. And plus, you guys have your lunch catered every day. You're eating that corned beef on rye. We're eating that pineapple and cream cheese out of the machine. That thing will stop you up for a week. That's some bad stuff. And I said, we're all listening to country music, five different stations. You can't even clap to it, and you're listening to classical. I don't know what it is, but Sounds real soothing. And I wasn't trying to be funny. I was just being honest. And he said, he's just puffing his pipe on the other side of this. He said, you know, you weren't supposed to take this test. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, nobody told me. He said, you know what you scored? And I said, no, I forgot a 50-50 chance of getting 50, I guess, at everything. He said, you scored a 9. Now, I still feel it. When he said that, I thought, man, they rounded that up. I bet I did pretty good. 9. I must be a good guesser. I said, 9? He said, no, Joe, 9 out of 100. You got 9. He said, don't ever gamble. You're not a good guesser. Well, long story short, he had a problem, a liaison problem between the white-collar lab technicians, blue-collar workers. And he had to pull out my job resume thing in the plant. Said, you run everything in this plant. Do you not like it working here? I love working here. Why do you keep moving around? Every place I moved to paid 10, 15 cents more an hour than I was making. I'm trying to. I have a lot of hobbies. Work's not one of them. I'm working for cash. He said, well, I got a problem. Would you be willing to come in the lab for about 3 months if we can teach you the formulas? We're not going to teach you the math. We don't think you can learn it. But we'll teach you the formulas, and maybe you can become a lab technician. I said, sure. I said, do I get one of those uniforms? My wife would be impressed if I could wear a white shirt to work every day. He said, sure. I said, am I going to get a raise these 3 months? He said, don't push this, Joe. Don't push this. So I became the first non-degree lab technician. 3 months later, I'm the first non-degree senior lab technician. That's where I met Bill Clark, who hired me 2 years later to become an engineer in Sykes, Missouri. Sent me back to night school to finish my degree. And that's how my life turned really good before I went in ministry. And I've taught my kids, you don't go anywhere unless you're moving. But the reason you don't move is because you don't think you're good enough. And you're not smart enough. And you can't do it right. It's too much. Too big. Oh, family. I said, it's not. Anybody can learn anything. Anybody can learn anything. Plus, I've always done the Psalm 512. You got a shield of divine favor. People like you, and they don't even know why. And God will promote you if you're willing to do something and do extra and learn and work and study. And so we learned the hard way. I didn't go to a seminar. What'd you learn? I need money. What motivated you? Money, cash. It was just second to God. We need more cash. I'm living in a little old nasty rent house. We're barely eating. What do you need? I need some cash. Big motivator when you grow up poor. That's why most rich people were poor at one time. Most everybody thinks rich people were born rich. No, they weren't. Most of them were born poor. What'd you realize? I don't like being poor. I'm not going to stay poor anymore. I'm going to learn something, do something. So you start moving. And I'll give you this. I like this. This is, we're the ones that the Lord gave the orders to. He said, listen, I need you to have faith in God. What? I need you to have faith in God. If you have faith in God, you can speak to this mountain and command it to be cast into the sea, and it'll do what you say. And that mountain is 15 miles from that sea. That's not just like it fell over into the water. It's got to fly through the air. It's like, who said that? The Son of God, Silent Night, Holy Night, we kings of Orient are, God who can't lie, said, if you can believe, you make this mountain move. Now, people made fun of that in more ways, more books and more bookstores and theology classes. Well, he said it. We looked, maybe we misinterpreted it. We know it's literal. It's what he said. You can have what you believe. What do you believe? Whatever you feed on. Well, maybe we shouldn't feed on stupid. You know, if I get what I believe, might not want to be thinking stupid because I'm going to get what I think about. I don't think we're going to make it. I don't think my wife loves me anymore. I think I might have something going to kill me. Well, you'll get what you think about because eventually you think about it long enough, it's going to come out of your mouth and hell just woke up. No, I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I'm blessed and highly favored. We're going to make it. I remember when I became an engineer the year before I became one, my boss called me in, really liked my work ethic, and told me I would never be an engineer because I had not finished my degree yet. Now, I'm going to school, but I hadn't finished. And I just smiled. I said, okay. And he just said, is that okay? Well, no, I'm going to be an engineer eventually. I'm still in school. So, yeah, we just can't give it to you right now. You don't have the degree. I understand. So they hired another guy, and he about killed us. He messed more stuff up. Arrogant cuss. Arrogance. You know, pride goes before fall. So he got fired, and I got his job. I shortened that testimony up. Carpenters know not to build big boats in the middle of a drought. That is, unless you're Noah. Every woman knows you don't get pregnant at 90, unless you're Sarah. Every leader knows that your people should not be caught between the enemy and a sea. That is, unless you're Moses. Every soldier knows you can't tumble walls down with a trumpet, unless you're Joshua. Every shepherd knows you don't knock down a giant with a slingshot, unless you're David. Every blind man knows spit and mud won't make your eyes see, except the man by the pool of Siloam. Every father knows that dead daughters don't get up, except Jairus. Now, guys, the Bible's packed with these stories. God's trying to get you and I to believe him. The devil's a thief. He's trying to steal our faith. Don't happen. Too late. Too old. Not smart enough. Shut up, devil. I'm a child of God. Every prisoner knows chains don't fall off unless you're Peter. Every religious terrorist knows you don't suddenly love your neighbor unless you're the Apostle Paul. Now, that's a short list. With every story, somebody had to believe God. Every story, somebody's got to believe God. Everybody. Even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying, Lord, can you let this cup pass from me? And the Father said, no. All righty then. Not my will, thy will be done. Let's get her done, God. Everybody that did something great had to overcome something great. Everybody's looking for the easy way out. The easy way out. No. Let's do something great. So I'll give you this last one, Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks in his heart, that's what he's going to get. The Jeremiah 33:3, God says, call unto me. I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know. What are you going to show me, God? I'm going to show you some mighty things. Not mighty mouse, mighty what? What's mighty? Now watch this. This is a Hebrew dictionary. Mighty. Mighty. If you'll ask me, I'll show you mighty things. If you'll ask me, I'll show you mighty things. Well, here's the definition from the dictionary. Mighty things. Previously inaccessible resources that were always there, but you weren't looking for them. That's why. When do you read this? Just think it's possible. You did that. Will you do that for me? I'll do it for anybody. You did that. Would you do that for me? I'll do it for anybody. All things are possible to him that believes. That's New Testament. So what happens is we got to start thinking different. So I'll do it real carnally. I'll make my kids get a list. I want you to get a list, and I want you to hang on to it. Now, here's the thing I'm going to give you right here. This is the sermon. It's one of the shortest ones, so we'll be out of here. This is what I do with the kids. I always stretch them, make them think, make them plan. So my daughter had her first day, and it went really good, and we're excited. And so I asked her the students, what are you going to do next? Because you've gone to college, got a degree, got a job, and this was a great company. So what do you plan to do with the company? And she knows. She knows not to say. She's the youngest daughter. She knows. Well, I just got here. She didn't say that. Well, Dad, I plan to either take over or start my own company eventually. Well, good. Now, just don't tell your boss that. Just keep that to yourself. And hide that in your heart. Way to go. So here it is. This is back to the smart moms. So smart moms think, say, do, and pray. This is the doing part. I'll just read these. There's 10 one-liners. Hang with me here. Smart moms. All smart moms got to lead their children to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Greatest thing you'll ever do with your kids is get them saved. I've seen parents trying to make them do piano recital and, you know, go to soccer and learn this and pass out. No, you need to know Jesus, because all that won't do you a bit of good when you're burning in hell. You need to know Jesus. You need to know him early. So let's get you saved. Let's give you two of these. John 3:3, unless you're born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. Then John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. I need you to know you need Jesus. Now I led all my kids to Jesus early. Well, I'll just give you this story, and I've shared it before. It's either Jessica or not been Corey. One of my kids is watching cartoons on Saturday morning, making pancakes in the kitchen. They're in there watching the Roadrunner. And they come in the kitchen. Hey, Dad, I just got saved. No, baby, you got saved when you were 5. There's a certificate hanging on your bedroom wall. We already water baptized you twice. No, I just got saved. I just gave my heart to Jesus. No, baby, got saved 2 years ago. No. Well, how'd you get saved? I just watched the Roadrunner and Coyote. Well, I had a thought. I really do need Jesus. He really does need to be my Savior. I need to confess him as my Lord. And I just prayed that same prayer we pray every Sunday after church and Sunday school. I just got saved. And it was a revelation, not information. So with kids, you're giving information to eventually the Holy Ghost will hook up with that and make it a revelation. Because once you get a revelation, nobody can take it away from you. So I tell you, you need to start early. Tell them to save. So people get upset. I had people get upset at VBS because we get kids saved all the time at age 5. We had 5 to 12-year-olds in VBS, and we give an altar call every day. Big VBS, 700-800 kids every day. And so, man, altar call fill up. It's like, you knew there was a God. They just showed up. We do want to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Boy, I got blistered on that one. You know, when your 5-year-old goes home praying in tongues, Mommy, listen. Shanda. I've had them come back in the parking lot. What did you do to my kid? Mommy, we got them filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. We don't believe that. It's on our building out there. We're a Pentecostal church. Shanda. I can't take it back. I didn't say that. I wish I could have. Number 2, you help them grow in faith. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law will not depart out of your mouth or your heart. And as long as you start confessing it, you'll prosper and have good success. So I tell my kids, I'm not trying to make you holy. God's already made you holy. You've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. I'm not trying to make you smarter. I'm trying to build your faith. Build your faith. Why are you reading it? Build your faith. Why are you reading it? Build your faith. Why are you meant to build your faith? Why? You need to please God and whip the devil. I want you to have great faith, not little faith, not weak faith. So you go through that and just get them for the right thing. Like this one, number three. This is a tough one. You want to teach them to submit to authority. You better do what your teacher says, what your coach says. Because today it's just, I cannot imagine being a teacher today. I can't even imagine the things that happen. Because parents are livid. They show up like some like war party. My kid said, your kid's a kid. They're a doofus. We're an adult. We didn't hire to abuse your kids. We're trying to do what's right. Now, I know things happen, and there are some people who do stupid stuff. But that better be the second thought, not the first thought. Now, I always told my kids things. My daddy told me, if you get a spanking at school, I'm going to bust you when you get home. We're going to double dip you. And I always taught my kids, if you ever get spanked at school, I'm going to tear you up when you get home. Don't get spanked. Now, 80 years of parenting, I gave 5 swats total. Because I still teach them spanking. It's in the Bible. It's 18 scriptures. But we've got a lot of things we can do before we get to that. That's the last resort because rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. You keep doing this, you're going to get yourself killed early. And I don't want to come to your funeral. I want you to come to mine. So I want you to live long. So you're not going to be rebellious. We won't tolerate that. You need to do what's right. Romans, I like this. Romans 13, let every subject, verse 1 through 2, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, the higher authorities. Those authorities are set up by God. You submit to them, you submit to God. You resist authority, you're resisting God. Do what the people say. Do what the policeman says. That's not some copper or some slang name. That's a police officer. He's putting his life on the line every day. You're going to do what he tells you to do. Well, I wasn't speeding. Well, evidently you were doing something. Well, I don't think I was. Well, he says you are, and he's just printed it off on that little gun. So evidently you just weren't paying attention. And one time I remember it happened, we'd put wrong size tires on the vehicle. And so it was showing less, you know, speed than what you're going. It showed you doing 60, you're doing about 72. What happened? You put those big tires, and that's really good, except your odometer's messed up now. So, oh, have mercy, that didn't turn out good. Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents, the Lord, for this is right. You need to honor those in authority. Now, we've taught our kids, if somebody's abusing you, doing something wrong, you do Matthew 18, you go get another witness, and you go confront them. If they won't listen, you get a third witness. There's a way to solve a problem without you standing up and screaming in class, calling them names, or writing something on a, you know, bathroom stall somewhere. Don't do that. That won't fix anything. Teach them to guard their heart, and this is kind of what we said already. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks his heart, so is he. Then Proverbs 4, keep your heart with all diligence. I told my kids, you can sneak around and watch anything you want. You can find porn, watch stupid on TV, listen to crazy music, you know, take this job and shove it, or all kind of, you can do it. It's going to show up. Your sin will find you out. Not proud of the time. But if you're doing something wrong, I love you. I'm going to catch you. Oh, I won't catch you the day you do it. Maybe I might not catch you for a month, but I will catch you. Because God loves you too much to let you stay stupid. He's going to show somebody, and somebody's going to call me and tell me. So do what's right because it's right to do what's right. And that really helped him out, I think. Teach kids how to pray. This is pretty simple. Philippians 4:6. Don't be anxious about anything. Pray about everything. And that's where you got to learn your kids. I don't know. And they'll gripe, not bad ways. And they'll talk out of their heart. And I just don't think it's going to say, no, well, let's pray about it. You keep saying it's not going to happen. I'm not going to make homecoming court. What, do you want to make homecoming court? Well, there's just too many, and they only pick 6 people. Well, would you like to have it? Well, there's just too many. So, well, you're talking negative already. I don't think you won't even get to the basketball court, let alone the homecoming court. What do you want? Well, I want to be there. Well, let's agree. Then let's do what it takes to get on homecoming court. Maybe we need to practice. So we participated in about 5 events around town where you go participate, you know, get on stage, walk around, make speeches. You know, one of them had to put on a bathing suit. That went too far. I ended that. Because they made them skimpy. What happened to all the... There was no more material. My God, my daughter's half naked. We got to get her off the stage. Too late, she's up there. Well, this was not what I had in mind. So we had to end it. But we had to do something. So 3 of my daughters did make homecoming court. One made homecoming queen. And people said, boy, you sure got lucky. No. You get what you believe God for. And most people don't want to believe for nothing. They're just going to get through. What do you want? Write it down. It's a great secret book. I'll write it down and make it happen. Tell our kids, you got to be praying about stuff. I'll give you this real quick. Teach your children to fear God. Whew, Psalm 34:11. I've covered this already. Father, it says this, children, come to me and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Listen, there's some of you here have adult kids you've not seen in a while. The greatest thing you'll ever do for them before you go to bed tonight, Father, I don't know what we've done. Maybe we didn't do right. We did wrong. Because you'll get there. I've been there. Well, Man, if I'd only. Man, if I'd only. Oh, if I hadn't. If I'd only. I can't change the past. Get it under the blood. No, let's focus on that. Father, I repent of what I could have done and should have done. But that's in the past. It's under the blood. So right now, I'm going to ask you, teach my children to fear you. My children need wisdom, and that's where it's going to start. So every day, I'll do it tonight. I give you permission to teach Sarah, Jess, Cortez, Lauren, John to fear you. Fear of God's the beginning of wisdom. With that wisdom comes long life, riches, and honor. Proverbs 3:16. I want long life, riches, and honor. How are you going to get long life, riches, and honor? Are you going to win the lottery? No, you're going to fear God. And that's the doorway into that. So every day you pray the fear of God over your kids. Develop a servant's heart. I've shared this before. I've got 2 minutes here. Made my kids volunteer all the time and made them think that was normal. We have a big youth group. We had the largest youth group in America at one time. 4,000 teenagers showed up every Wednesday night. 180. We were on Good Morning America twice. I never let my kids go to youth group ever. Because I know sometimes stupid things happen if you don't have a good leader. And so we've moved a lot, so I don't know who the leader is. I need to know the person in charge, and I can trust them. So since I didn't, I said, I'll tell you, you go to youth group, but you're going to volunteer. You're going to serve. You're going to serve in youth group. You're going to participate and volunteer and do stuff. That I never let my kids have study hall in school. You will not take study hall. You're going to do something, help the coach, you know, help the lady do the yearbook, you know, grade papers, you know, wipe down the, volunteer to Windex all the windows. They're kind of skanky. Do something. If you don't get in the habit of serving, you'll be a griper all of your life. I want you to learn how to serve. So, let's go ahead. I'll just give this to you. This is Jesus, Mark 10:43. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must become your servant. That's Jesus talking. Then Matthew 7:12. Do unto others what you'd have them do unto you. You serve other people, people will serve you. People don't want to show off. Here's this one. Teach them about divine protection. Everybody loves this. This is Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What's going on? I don't care. I'm not afraid of evil. I'll be like David. I lay my head down on a rock and cave and sleep really good. Psalm 90:12. Angels of God camp around about me everywhere I go. So I don't care what hotel I'm in. I do it when I'm at my house in the house of Oklahoma. Go to sleep every night. We got a big old 2-story house out in the middle of nowhere. You worried about anything? Tornadoes, lightning, fire. No, I got smoke alarms. And, you know, there's something going to go off if it happens. But if the tornado alarm goes off, where are you going? I don't know. And one time we got in the bathtub. One night. Because alarm's going off. They said to get in the bathtub. We did. You ever seen 8 people in a bathtub? That was the last time we did that. We both just giggled. Get off me. Get out of here. That was the dumbest thing. You need to know that you're protected because the devil will challenge you with fear. Fear's a real deal. It's the opposite of faith. Nope. I do not have a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. The angels of God around me. I got the mind of Christ. I'm not going to do anything stupid. God's going to order my steps and direct my path. So all of a sudden you create a boldness where you're willing to go do something and not just hang back all the time. Here's the next and last one. Teach them that they're gifted. This is real good. Psalm 139, verse 16. It's in the middle of our finance book. Every day of my life was written in your book before I was ever conceived. God, you saw me coming. 1 Peter chapter 4. As everyone has received a gift, use it in serving one another. As a good steward of the manifold grace of God. He's a gift of speaking, speaks of the oracles of God. He's a gift of serving, serves the ability. So I wanted my kids to know you're all gifted. You're just gifted different. Sarah went to college on an academic scholarship. Jessica went on an athletic scholarship. Corey had no scholarship. She had to volunteer taking pictures of the yearbook. But the last 2 years she had a full scholarship, being the editor of the yearbook and the college paper. Money, the wealth of the wicked is there for the just. It's not coming on a greased banana peel. It's not going to show up in your front door in a UPS truck. You've got to go get it. But you've got to believe that it's possible. Every child's gifted. Every child's gifted. You might not have been to get your program, but God said you were gifted. So we went through that thing, and that was a wild run. And then the last one that's most critical. Teach them they need good friends. Proverbs 27:17, as iron strikes iron, so the countenance of a friend. But you won't have a friend, you know how to be one. So Denise made this happen. It wasn't me. I griped. She made all the kids, including my son, go to 3 days of etiquette class. And you go and you know how to introduce the older to the younger, younger to the older, which fork you pick up, don't make fun of all that silverware, which side you get served from if you had a formal meal. And then we made them go to Toastmasters, and you're going to learn how to talk in front of people. And so they played the elevator game. You ever heard of the elevator game? And so the elevator game is like you're on an elevator. And I've been riding one over here at the hotel, and you get on the elevator, I'm on the 4th floor. So somebody's going to get on before you hit that bottom floor. And so most adults get on the elevator and you'll just nod and they'll nod and both of you stare at the number like you might get lost. There's four floors. You got to make sure you get off the right one. It's so uncomfortable. You think, come on, elevator, move. You know, don't do that. So we changed that years ago. I'd make my kids start a conversation. So when they would travel with us a long time ago, we were in Kansas City, got on the elevator, and we got on and had eight floors. We're coming down. Somebody got on like the fifth floor. So you go, hey, how you guys doing? Hey, you here on vacation? The door hadn't even shut, and I'm talking to them. So this is my daughter, Sarah. That's Jessica. Said, well, you enjoying the hotel? Is your room good? Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out the buffet downstairs? Roast beef's really good. No, we're not. We need to check that out tonight to get a chance, man. Really good buffet down there. So if you have any problems, you let us know, okay? Man, we really appreciate that. We really enjoy your hotel. Well, you come back then. Tell your people about us. You come back. And my kids said, you lied. I didn't lie. I was just real nice to them. I want to know if they did enjoy the buffet. I want to know if their room was good. And I've had them holler at before they come because we'd stay usually 2 or 3 days. Hey, appreciate your hotel. No problem. Let us know if there's a problem. People don't like arrogant people. But people love bold people. You got to learn how to show yourself friendly. So let's stand up and we're going to pray. Denise would get on to me sometimes, and she'd say, are you ever going to change your altar call? I said, no, I like the one I got. People seem to get saved all the time under. And then she'd say, when I pray over my kids, you ever going to pray anything different? Probably not. I got three things I like praying. So I do this all the time. I want my kids to fear God. They're adults. So I still pray it, though. Father, I give you permission, Psalm 34:11. Teach my children to fear you. I want my kids to have divine favor everywhere they go. Psalm 5:12, I will surround you with the shield of divine favor. So, Lauren, we're thankful she got a job. We're thankful to everybody. I pray, Lord, my daughter walks with divine favor today. It's the first day. First impressions are important. So she walks with supernatural divine favor in the eyes of all the owners and the people she's working with. Then the third thing is we need godly friends. You won't grow unless you have friends in your life. Friends are the ones who have permission to tell you the truth. A person that's not a friend won't tell you the truth. They'll compliment you, tell you how nice you look or how nice you smell. But only a friend will tell you you have bad breath. Hey, you know, I don't know what you've been eating, but, and you're kind of skanky. You need to back up and get some mints or something, because you can peel the bark off a pine tree. A friend will tell you you've got dandruff. Man, don't be wearing that dark stuff. You look like Mount Kilimanjaro. You're snowing all over yourself up there. Friends are somebody who will tell you the truth, and you need a friend. But you can't have a friend until you learn how to be a friend. And not everybody's going to respond to you when you're friendly. Some people won't. But you keep being friendly and watch God do something great. So keep your eyes open, your heads up. Say this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is truth. It sets me free. It keeps me free. According to your word, I ask you, teach my family to fear you. Surround my family with divine favor and bring to my family godly friends. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God promised to watch over his word and perform it, guys. You've been so faithful. I love you, church. I love you, pastors. You're a one-of-a-kind bunch of people. Stay strong, all right? We're in the most exciting time of human history. Don't bail out. If you need something, tell somebody. You need agreement in prayer, tell somebody. You see somebody need, help somebody. Sow some seed. We're part of the greatest thing that's ever happened. We get to heaven, the saints of old, Moses, Jephthah, Joshua. Hey, what was it like in the last days, man, when God's Spirit was poured out without measure? Man, it's hard. Man, economy was bad, and prices were high, and my dog bit me, and cousin was crazy, and they don't want to hear that. We get to the marriage supper, you want to have a testimony. What was it like? Man, it's stinking awesome, but I guarantee we were kicking tail and taking names and hugging necks. It was just an awesome time. So you need to pray, Lord, help me finish strong. I want to run to the finish line. I want to finish everything. I want to, like Paul said in 2 Timothy, I want to finish my race. I do not want to pull up short. I want to complete what all God called and gifted me to do. Amen. Great grace on every one of you. May this be a jubilee year for everything you set your hand to. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you.